This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is our history doctor, Bill Smith. Welcome back.
Glad to be back.
It's summertime, and it's time for another stroll through history. And you've decided that we're going to take on an all-time favorite of people looking at history, and that's getting history right and the truth and lies and all of that.
Well, you know, getting out your SPF 45, it makes me think of numbers and this great Mark Twain line. He gets credit in America for popularizing a saying that's really attributed to the British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli. There are three kinds of lies: lies, damned lies, and statistics. What I find interesting is that the familiar quote that everybody gives Twain credit for is what he said before it to set it up. This was Twain. Mm-hmm. Figures often beguile me, particularly when I have the arranging of them myself, which then gets me to the thought of, you know, many of the things we see, particularly historical numbers, as they're used by the media when they try to make historical analysis, we have to take some care with that when we read them. One of the great small books, as I'm thinking of summer books mm-hmm. to take to the beach, that's still on my desk is a little primer on statistics and math for journalists. There's always two ways to look at things, the raw numbers and the percentages, and you have to be very careful on which one you're using.
And it would seem that that's even more important in this digital information age.
Well, you know, Daniel Patrick Moynihan famously opined that everyone is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts. And with these damned lies and statistics, you often find real quick where someone is having their own facts. So, as we get ready to go to the beach, let's consider the problem of shark death.
Wait, what? Shark death?
Yes. Like death people, by shark.
People attacked by sharks?
Yes.
What does that have to do with our statistics here?
Well,
I think I know where you might be going with
this.
Well,
let's blame Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
Because it's all his fault. Annually, there are 50 to 70 shark attacks worldwide.
Okay.
Less than 10 people an average year die as a result of shark attack. Therefore, the chances of being struck by lightning and killed while standing on the beach mm-hmm. vastly higher than being killed in the, I'll use my air quotes now, folks, take a look, shark-infested waters, roughly four times greater.
Right, you've got a much better chance of dying on the golf course than you do being attacked by a shark.
My personal favorite is you have a seriously higher chance of being killed or maimed by a falling coconut on same beach than being killed by a shark.
But you don't see a rash of reports on CNN or Fox News about coconut deaths.
No. It just doesn't get you. See, there's a statistic that is vastly underreported: the threat of killer coconuts.
Okay. Well, now that we've given the shark a bit of a reprieve, what are some important things to think about when we're talking about numbers?
Well, remember what I said earlier. You've got worldwide 50 to 70 reported shark attacks a year. There is a
register. Those are attacks, not deaths.
Deaths usually 10 and under. And there is an international registry that claims for the last 500 years, less than 2,500 people have been attacked by sharks. Now, right there, you begin to start thinking about, you've got a registry that uh-huh. dates to the 1500s. Uh-huh. How accurate were your records there, Ishmael,
right,
as you were taking down the number of shark attacks? So number one, just a smell test.
Right.
But number two, a couple of important numbers to keep in mind when you hear statistics, especially
okay.
when they're played historically for you. The 2010 census reports that there are 308 million people in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So anytime a raw number of people is portrayed to you, you can say, well, that number versus the population of the country, how significant is this? The Centers for Disease Control says that roughly 2.5 million people die every year in the United States.
Okay.
So right there, even death itself, mm-hmm. kind of rare. 2.5
right.
million
right, out of
to 308.
Right. Most of us are going to survive the year.
Exactly. The leading cause of death remains heart disease. Mm-hmm. At just under 600,000 Americans. Just edging out all cancers at high 500,000.
Okay.
So there's
between heart disease and cancer, 1.1 million.
Which is roughly half of death.
Right.
There's a large drop to the next category, lower respiratory disease and stroke, each one of them about 130,000.
Okay.
I bring this up only to say that accidents are fifth. All accidents at 118,021 people last year, according to the CDC.
And that's car accidents.
Car accidents, airplane accidents, train accidents.
Accidents.
Accident fell in the bathtub. Accident.
Oh,
accidental death.
Okay.
Now, accidental death that might have been something else ruled accidental death because we didn't have another cause either.
Okay.
If I tell you that something caused the death of over 16,000 people in America last year, what's your reaction?
If I heard that and we hadn't been having this conversation, I'd say, oh, my gosh, that's quite a few. That's like the population of Harrison or Mountain Home.
Exactly. And it makes it
dramatic.
Tremendous. And
right.
It's a raw number.
Right.
What's the percentage, though? So if I say to you that just over one half of a tenth of a percent of America was affected by something, what's your reaction?
Well, okay, that's a small number. Chances are I don't know someone affected by that.
Correct.
Chances are.
Now, when I tell you that that number, no matter which way you slice it, is the murder rate, it becomes dramatic.
Right.
So I have your attention now. Murder must be a big problem in America. 16,000 Americans murdered last year, yes?
Well, yes.
Except that in 2010, we hit a 50-year low for the historical homicide rate in America.
Uh-huh.
It's been going down ever since the 60s.
Right.
And it now has officially dropped off the top 15 causes of death in America.
Which is good news, right?
Very good news, and again, significant. Now, when you see someone portraying a crime issue and they're wanting to say historically this or historically that, well, but something is driving all crime stats down. It could be an aging population, for example.
Right.
Could be that we've just learned to live with each other better. Who knows? But
you could draw many conclusions.
Correct. So this is why I'm sort of reminding and talking about when we use numbers in historical context, you've got to be careful. Now, let's say we want to talk about the 19th century.
Okay.
Well, you sure can't use your 308.
No.
And 16,000. Because if you take 16,000 deaths in 2010 and compare it to the number of deaths in, say,
1845?
Right. You're going to be basing it off of a radically different population, radically different percentages. This often just kind of comes through sometimes in the reporting of historical data that we as the consumer of that have to be very careful of.
Right. So you have to think about whether it's a raw number or a percentage.
That's right. Now, you know, we've also talked in the past about my three kinds of history. Remember, there's the past.
Right.
There's the little H and there's the big H.
And this relates because?
Well, you know, the past is what really happened. We may not have a record of it.
Right.
And
it is what actually happened.
What actually happened. It is the tree falling in the woods.
Right.
Whether someone recorded it or not.
Right. It is what physically happened.
The little H of history, to me, has always been the raw data where there was a recording of the tree falling in the woods. Therefore, we can go back and study that later.
Right. Someone logged it down in their book.
Exactly. The capital H is what my profession of historians do with history.
Right.
We create histories, capital H histories, my version of what happened. And we have to keep that in mind because right along with summer shark fear, you know, we're just around the corner from summer blockbuster movie
time.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And more we see history as a subject, like the J. Edgar Hoover biopic of this last winter. And frankly, I will tell you, I found that to be a very, very good movie that carried several important themes of J. Edgar's life. But this capital H history is rapidly becoming the history.
Right.
Or as I like to call it, it's the stoning of America.
The stoning of America?
As in the motion picture producer and director,
Oliver Stone. JFK.
Exactly. So that you have a generation of history students that believe that JFK is what happened.
Right.
It was no more than the capital H version of what happened, a very fictionalized version of what happened, carrying off on a conspiracy theory on its own that Oliver Stone has portrayed to us as a historical fiction.
Right.
We begin to believe, though, to talk about summer and summer books, that Kennedy actually said the things that Bill O'Reilly wrote in his bestseller. You know, Killing Lincoln is a very compelling narrative of what happened. But there was no one there to record that dialogue and to move the story along, an incredible amount of licenses being taken. So, my second caution to you, along with not worrying about the sharks
right,
and keeping an eye on the skies for lightning and coconuts
yes,
is that when you leave the beach and pick up that book or slip into the air conditioning of the multiplex, keep an eye and ear out for that author or producer that may be creating capital H history and calling it fact.
All right. Well, then until the wax cylinder recordings of President William McKinley's Oval Office conversations surface,
we're history.